Rock Talk.
This is Grok Talk, brought to you by GraniteGrok.com and the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers, live from Concord, New Hampshire, where Main Street is completely blocked off for miles.
A few blocks, anyways.
A few blocks. So, let me adjust my volumes a little bit here, because we're doing things a little different, because we're having some audio issues. It's always something, isn't it? Right? But let's get right into our next guest. Greg Moore from AFP New Hampshire is on the line with us to talk about some new ads they have released. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be on Grok Talk.
Yeah, we're going to have you in studio again pretty soon. I was just thinking, you know, I haven't had Greg on for a while, and all of a sudden I have Greg on. So.
Well, I come in today, except the street's all blocked off.
Yeah, I know, it is.
He picked that up real quick.
He did, yeah. So you guys have some stuff going on. Why don't you tell us about it?
Absolutely. Obviously, we've had a strong presence reminding folks about the impact of Obamacare here in New Hampshire and actually across the country. But more importantly, we're holding accountable the people who supported Obamacare, including, in this particular series of ads, Senator Shaheen and Representative Custer. Senator Shaheen, of course, was the deciding vote, the 60th vote, to pass Obamacare in the Senate. And one of the things that our ad focuses on isn't just on Obamacare in particular, but it actually focuses on Senator Shaheen's 20-year history of taking away health care choice from New Hampshire residents.
Yes.
Back in 1994, she sponsored legislation which actually drove 21 insurers out of the state by bringing a fairly Byzantine community rating system to New Hampshire and made life very easy for a couple of players, most notably Anthem, but made it life miserable for a whole lot of other insurers to the point where they decided that New Hampshire was not worth their time staying here because of her law. And she's taken that effort where she actually drove 21 insurers out of the state, then followed it up with Obamacare, which, oh, by the way, just happened to leave Anthem and Anthem alone as the only insurer in the state in the Obamacare exchange.
That's crony capitalism.
And it's absolutely crony capitalism. I suppose you can say that she's got a 20-year record of helping out Anthem, which I suppose is great for Anthem.
And screwing New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
But it has had a negative impact on the price of health care. Before her law passed in 1994, we had the second lowest health insurance rates in the country. And depending on what standard we're looking at now, we either have the second or third highest health insurance costs in the country. And a lot of that goes directly to the lack of competition in the marketplace brought about by then-state Senator, now U.S. Senator, Jean Shaheen's history of denying health care choice. And beyond that, it also took 10 of the state's 26 hospitals out of the Obamacare network. So not only have you lost your insurers, you've now lost your hospitals and your doctors. So she's done a fantastic job of taking away people's options in the health insurance marketplace, which of course drives up costs and denies people the opportunity to pick the doctor and hospital that's best for them.
This would be like a war on women, wouldn't it?
She is a woman's healthcare wrecking machine.
It's a war on everyone, unfortunately, women and men.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it's a war on your wallet. And although we certainly know that Senator Shaheen hasn't met too many tax increases she doesn't like. But in particular, as it relates to Obamacare and healthcare, this is something that I think hasn't been discussed enough. I know that some people brought the issue up a little bit during the course of the gubernatorial campaigns when then Governor Shaheen was running for re-election, but it's never really been something that's been fully vetted and discussed publicly. And we felt it was the time to talk about the fact that it's not just Obamacare, Senator Shaheen, it's your record over 20 years. And that's something that I think is absolutely something that the citizens of the state need to know about and need to hold her accountable for.
I just recently wrote about that, and I called her a women's healthcare wrecking machine because, you know, she always touts how she's for women's healthcare. So you're right, Greg. It affects everyone negatively and hurts everyone. But when you have a senator who's pretending to be for women's healthcare when she, in fact, has ruined women's health care, in my opinion, because we have less choices, and we actually have lost access because of her. Yeah, I agree with you. Citizens of New Hampshire need to know the truth and need to know the facts that she has a career of hurting health care in New Hampshire, especially for women.
And it's not just Senator Shaheen.
Nope.
Obviously, Representative Custer also shares some of the responsibility of the impact of Obamacare.
You mean Shea Porter?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, both of them do. And in this particular ad we've focused on Representative Custer. Now, Representative Custer was not in Congress in 2010 to vote for Obamacare. And despite the fact that she saw some of the consequences of it, she still took the opportunity to support Obamacare, mm-hmm. which she didn't have to. And she's been a full-throated supporter of Obamacare. And basically anything that has the word Obama in it whatsoever she'll support. But earlier this year, she went on another talk show, the NHPR's program, The Exchange. My guess is you won't get her too often on Grok Talk. She won't even do a town hall meeting, so she sure as heck isn't going to come on your radio show.
No.
She went on NHPR, which she must figure is a safer turf for her. And she was asked point blank by the host, and not a really tough question, what about Obamacare would you change? What do you think you'd change about Obamacare? And she couldn't think of one thing that she would change about Obamacare. So I think we're seeing the negative consequences of Obamacare across the state of New Hampshire in terms of higher taxes. I was actually talking to a business owner who makes medical devices who's now subject to a national sales tax because of Obamacare on his products. And that's one of the negative, many, many negative consequences. But that's okay. Representative Custer can't think of one thing she would change.
Well, and you know what? That medical device tax you're talking about, that affects a lot of veterans who need, you know, wounded warriors and people like that, because it's going to cost their, any kind of device that they need is going to cost them a lot more money. Because, of course, it's going to be pushed, that tax is going to be pushed on to consumers. So apparently Custer doesn't really mind that happening.
No. It's a 2% tax. And the company I work for makes ERP software, Greg. And we have a large number of folks who do medical equipment that I talk to on a regular basis. And they're all starting to look, maybe we're going to follow some of these other companies and do the tax inversion. They're going to buy a small company in Europe, and they're going to move, because that's the only way they can get around this. Because they're all saying this is going to hurt our business, especially startups who might have a tremendous idea, but they've got to pay this, sort of like here in New Hampshire, the BET. Just because you're in business, you've got to pay the tax. And 2%, it sounds awful small, but when you start adding, it's the cup of coffee syndrome. After a while, you're no longer schlepping a couple of cup of coffees to the government. You're buying a tank truck and delivering the coffee. And these guys are laying people off, or they're going out of business. I hear it all the time, Greg.
And I think that's absolutely right. I was I'm friendly with Matt Albuquerque, who was one of the founders of Next Step Orthotics in Manchester. They make a lot of prosthetic devices. To the earlier point, they do a lot of prosthetics for veterans who have come back from Iraq, from Afghanistan, from missing limbs, and they provide prosthetics for them. And suddenly they are now subject to that medical device tax. And so for Representative Custer to say she wouldn't change a thing, and for Senator Shaheen to say, well, look, we don't like all of Obamacare, but we think overall it's good. And fundamentally, you have to ask, where are the good things that are happening? Because we're now seeing some really severe consequences. I don't know if you guys heard this, but there's a story that came out last week. Last week we heard that because of Obamacare and the marketing efforts, 11,000 people joined the Medicaid rolls. 11,000 mm-hmm. new people. Now, these are not part of the Medicaid expansion numbers. These are people who actually were Medicaid eligible prior, but heard that there's going to be free health care, went and signed up. Now, that might not seem like a really horrible thing, because let's face it, they're already eligible, but there's a huge impact to the state's budget. We're not, the Department of Health and Human Services, as a result of this, is looking at a $37 million hole in its budget, thanks to these new 11,000 people who signed up thanks to Obamacare.
Well, it's one of those deals, and I have it on my other computer, but and I know you probably have to remain silent, but I don't have to. Jeb Bradley, a senator from New Hampshire State Senator from Wolfboro, put out an email blast that said, "And we did Medicaid expansion." He used other words, "and we protected taxpayers." Yeah, I haven't had the chance to write my response to that yet, but he didn't even have the decency like Dave Booten did, at least said New Hampshire's taxpayers, or the same thing with Chuck Morse. I'm sorry, but almost everybody I know is paying federal taxes. But Jeb Bradley made the bold-faced lie, and it is a lie because he forgot that little modifier. How do you put 11,000 more people onto the Medicare rolls, which is going to cost money, and it protects taxpayers? Who do you think he's going to, where this money is going to come from, Greg? Does Jeb Bradley think this is coming out of pixie dust and unicorn farts? You know, I'm tired of these rogue Republicans who are carrying out the Democrat agenda and say, "Look what we've done for you."
Well, I'll say this. First of all, I cannot agree with you more. It is a phenomenon.
The dust of the farts part.
Well,
unicorn fart skittles.
I'm going to focus on the taxpayer piece for now. You can keep the unicorn fart. but fundamentally, it is a huge problem. It is pervasive, and it appears to sicken people as they walk in the halls of the State House, and that is that somehow that federal money apparently was airdropped from Germany or someplace like that, because they don't think that federal taxpayers actually pay for federal taxes that actually have to be increased in order to pay for the programs they want. And somehow that sort of comes in from, I don't know, this sort of falls in from the sky somehow. But I think that the point is, this is before the 11,000 people are before we even began enrollment for Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. These are people, and moreover, these are not people who are 100% federally funded on the Medicaid. These are people who are funded half by the state taxpayers right now. And it's got nothing to do with anything that happened at the state government, but only because of this massive marketing campaign that the federal government put in place. That's right, your tax dollars paid out to market to people to come and sign up for health care paid for by more of your tax dollars. It's kind of a little vicious circle going on there.
Yeah, and did you know that the Executive Council spent, and I've got to put this post up, I was ADD yesterday, didn't, 15 whole minutes to read for the first time about 160 pages worth of contract regarding Medicaid expansion, and then they passed it $300 million. 15 minutes, Greg.
Democrats on the Executive Council just do whatever Hassan wants them to do. They do not fight back. They do not research. They do nothing but whatever she tells them.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it's outrageous. Now, keep in mind that the governor sets the agenda for the Executive Council.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor chose to put that item before the Executive Council without a chance for them to read it. So she's the one who set the agenda. So she is acting in an incredibly irresponsible way by putting that in front of the council before they even get a chance to look at it, and it's even more irresponsible for the council to agree to vote for something that they haven't even looked at. It's just one more aspect of the whole Obamacare phenomenon. We have to pass the bill before we find out what's in it. We don't have time to read this stuff. So the bottom line is when you have a really bad policy, it takes a lot more downstream impacts that cause a whole host of other irresponsible actions to take place. And the entire Obamacare phenomenon just seems to breed more and more of this irresponsibility. And that's why we think that people need to know and need to hold these folks accountable. And I think that this is going to be the defining issue as we go for the rest of the year. And I think that people that I talk to are just enraged by it.
All right, we're going to have to let you go because your segment's just about up. How do people reach AFP New Hampshire?
AFP New Hampshire, you can come to our website, AmericansForProsperity.org, and go to the New Hampshire State Chapter page. We have 42,000 members, and we'd like to have everybody who's listening to this radio show who's not a member join us.
All right, Greg, thanks a lot,
and
you have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you. All right, Greg Moore, Americans for Prosperity. We're taking 90 seconds, and then we're going to talk to Mike, who's listening from California. We'll be right back.
He tried to make us believe he was a fiscal conservative, but State Senator Jeb Bradley has been deceiving New Hampshire taxpayers. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, he claimed to be one of us, pretending to blend in, but all along, voting like a liberal Democrat. And oh, how he drooled at the opportunity to vote to expand Obamacare, which will result in higher taxes and longer wait times in the emergency room. And now, Senator Bradley is leading the charge to try and pass a Senate bill to prevent us from criticizing his vote. Call Senator Bradley at 603-569-4208 and tell him that we're on to his wolf in sheep's clothing routine. Tell him to stop pretending to be a fiscal conservative and start voting like one. Paid for by Citizens for a Strong New Hampshire.
We are struggling. Rising healthcare costs are part of the problem. Senator Jean Shaheen helped create this mess we're in. As a state senator, her bill chased 21 insurers out of our state. It reduced our choices, raised prices for New Hampshire families. And when Jean Shaheen supported Obamacare, it limited access to 10 of our 26 hospitals, reducing our choices again. Tell Jean Shaheen she's made healthcare worse.
All right, we're back. Thanks to Greg Moore for taking 15 minutes out of his busy morning to spend it with us, but we're going to move on to our next guest, who's normally sitting here in the studio with us, Mike Rogers from California, where it's very early in the morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. And it is early, but it is actually daylight. There's a strange kind of daylight in Silicon Valley in the early mornings because of the fog that rolls over the hills and forms a cloud layer in the valley and then burns off in an hour or two. And it'll be sunny, and then later it'll be hot. But it's an early morning. It's great over here. I'm sitting here with my mug of tea, and I'm watching the goings-on in the studio, and I can see that my future...
Big Brother's watching.
My future as a grok host is toast, because Kim is more telegenic.
I took over your seat today, Mike, so now I'm the queen for the week.
But at least, I get you going on Hillary, you're not the red queen.
No.
With their heads.
All right, so...
And that brings us to the topic, I guess, off with their heads. Israel dares to defend themselves.
What a concept.
Horror.
What a concept.
Well...
Yeah, exactly. You know, for years I've been advocating, turns out Susan has been advocating more strongly, Israel's sitting there, and these guys are lobbing rockets and mortars at them nonstop, this is during supposed times of peace. And the Western governments, mostly left-leaning Western governments, are funding Hamas and Hezbollah one way or another, who claim to be a government managing the country for their people, when in fact they're simply a terrorist clique who are using their people as human shields. I will post the cartoon later. Netanyahu put it best when he said, we use missiles to shield our people from terrorists. The terrorists use their people to shield their missiles.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean, and so true, because you've watched this stuff. You know, for those of us who can go back a few years and have watched the news, when the Israelis pulled out of Gaza and the West Bank, not the West Bank, but pulled out of Gaza, they left all kinds of things, including a huge greenhouse implementation that was paid for by a lot of, actually, Bill Gates' money, and they just trashed the place. They couldn't care less. You would think that... Looking at Israel when it first started up, it was one of the poorest democracies in the world. Now they're number 37, and they're seen as a beacon of science and technology at this point. They're self-sufficient almost. They're about to reap the same thing that we are here with the shale just off their shores. And they do very well. But what has – you're right, Mike. What has Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO – done for their people except keep them in misery? They've been in these quote-unquote refugee camps for 65 years, and the surrounding countries have done nothing. They refuse to take them in as refugees. And yet, here in the U.S., we're supposed to take all these little kids in.
Israel has finally got fed up and said, well, if you want to live under a religion of the seventh century, we'll bomb you back there physically as well. You know, they launch these rockets, and Israel takes great lengths. I know lefties won't agree, takes great trouble not to hurt civilians when they try and pick off an occasional particularly bad guy from the Gaza Strip. And they finally said, we're done with this. You're lobbing rockets further and further. You're hitting infrastructure across most of the country, or you would if it wasn't for our Iron Dome that's taking out 99% of these incoming rockets. And we're going to take out the sources of the trouble. We're going to take out the rocket launch points. We're going to take out the supply dumps, and we're going to take out the command posts. Oh, and we're most definitely going to take out those tunnels that you used to infiltrate under our border a couple of days ago. And don't try invading by sea. It might come to a sticky end. There was some fairly graphic video a few days earlier where some terrorists belonging to Hamas, because there is no such thing as a Palestinian, tried to invade Israel from the sea, and they were taken out in very short order by a couple of soldiers and a helicopter.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you, because, you know, we are techies for the most part here at Granite Rock, and you've probably seen the video, too, and I failed to put it up. I apologize, but the rocket knocked the door kind of deal, where they put a little rocket into the roof to alert the people in the building saying, guess what, we're coming, you've got a few minutes, get out before we send the bigger one. And then, of course, they sent the bigger one and the building kind of disappeared. But the hack that I think is just so technically superior is that the Israelis can get into the cell phone system in the Palestinian areas, West Bank or Gaza, and they're calling people up in these particular buildings to say, get out, we're about to blow the building to bits. Do you have any idea how that's done?
I suspect it's because they own the cell phone system and they can locate the people. Let's not forget that in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, these people don't have any technologies except what they effectively steal from the West, or we foolishly give to them. The Iranians are not stupid. Iranians sell, or rather give, all manner of high technology, but I'm going to bet you that most of the critical infrastructure, meaning electricity, water, and probably telephony, that feeds Gaza and the West Bank is actually coming from Israel.
Did you hear about the one that just happened where Hamas blew up an electrical plant or something, and it shut off power?
I most definitely did. I don't know whether it was an own goal, an attempt to elicit sympathy, or what. They stupidly fired a rocket at an electrical substation feeding 70,000 people. Oops, that happens to be 70,000 people living in Gaza. And Netanyahu said to the Israeli electric company, I want you to repair this, but not until it is safe to do so, when the rocket fire stops. In other words, let the bastards sit in the dark until they stop throwing rockets.
And it's summertime there, too. It's probably really warm. It's very unpleasant. Well, no fans, no lights, no nothing.
Yeah. And you know what? Living in hovels like that is probably a lot nastier than living in a tent with a camel. maybe they should try traditional methods.
I don't know. Maybe the tent with a camel is looking good now.
You can't live.
Here we go, folks.
Well, you're living in a hovel. They probably have rolling brownouts and blackouts anyway. Maybe they only have power a couple hours a day. So maybe it's, you know, except for the cities.
Don't get me started. Can we possibly have a brown blackout and maybe roll brown out?
Yeah, actually, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You got about 3 minutes, so let's.
On a serious
one. And thinking on that, by the way, you saw I illustrated JR's tweet.
You did.
You did? I didn't see it.
Scroll down one from the live stream.
Yeah, there's this website called graniterock.com. If you go there, you'll get all kinds of news and opinion about the culture in New Hampshire and the world.
I'm on Grog Talk live stream right now. I'm not paying attention to that. Punks.
So JR put out this tweet about tissue paper thin skin on Scott Brown. And the spokesman for Kimberly Clark, because, of course, in America, Kimberly Clark markets Scott brand toilet tissue. In Britain, they make the premium soft padded Andrex toilet tissue, whose mascot for longer than anybody can remember has been the Andrex puppy. playful golden lab who frequently unrolls said tissue. So, hence I browned up the lab a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You probably will have noticed that that was our whiskey foxtrot tango, but whiskey tango foxtrot of the week. I got it backwards.
I did. I heard that. That's
so, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Running into the bathroom to hide. What are you, a little girl?
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, just like the Brett girl in California when National Enquirer caught him on his way to visit his mistress.
Yeah, that would be John Edwards of the Democrat Party.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And they're very similar voting records too.
I was going to say, so Democrats of all party affiliations seem to run away from the press.
Yeah, and their constituents.
So if Scott Brown got elected, we could expect no town halls. All right. Well, that's pretty much what we
should. Well, I don't know about that, but he'd probably say, I don't represent you. I mean, you talked about one of our representatives, it doesn't really matter which one, saying, I don't represent you, you're a Republican. I mean, look. Scott Brown wouldn't allow the president of a gun club into a gun owners meeting because because Rick Olson was one of the people that he didn't choose to represent.
That's representative government in the 21st century.
Yeah, you represent your cronies and the hell with the rest.
That's right. So you got about, 60 seconds left. Anything else?
There's just so much going on in the world.
Yeah, but can you fit it in 60 seconds? And I'll see, now you only have 50.
No.
I should play the Jeopardy music, but I don't have it.
it's been a lot of fun. Greg made some great points on healthcare, of course. And has anybody checked whether Anthem has been contributing to Gene Shaheen's wallet?
Ooh, there's a good idea. Good question.
Oh, and have they for the past several years even?
Because if she's been giving them advantages that have gradually increased, what are they giving her?
Good question.
Very good question.
Make notes. Go look.
Right now.
Google it. Go find it.
OpenSecrets.org.
I'll say one last quick thing. Have you noticed how the candidates, Brown doesn't want to talk about Smith and Rubens while attacking Shaheen. Smith attacks Brown while not wanting to talk about Rubens and give him name recognition. Rubens, on the other hand, acts gentlemanly to all and goes out after advertising so he can raise his name recognition. But it does seem to be that game. The ones who think they're at the top don't want to recognize the people that they think are beneath them.
Yeah, and this is from the guy with the Rubens campaign sign in his yard, just so you know. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but we have to go. So I'm going to cut you off. Mike, thanks for calling in. Have a great day.
Have a great day, guys.
Take care, Mike.
Now he can't talk. He can listen. This is Steve McDonald. I'm here with Skip Murphy, Kimberly Moore, and Dan Hines has joined us for his segment. We'll be back in a few minutes after you listen to some muffly, phone boothy sounding segments because of our bad audio problem. We'll be right back.
Senator Gene Shaheen said, if you like your current health plan, you can keep it. That's not true, Senator. 22,000 New Hampshire citizens have been kicked off their insurance plans. Hospitals in Rochester, Concord, and Portsmouth, they aren't allowed to provide care under the exchange. Senator, you were wrong in your comments. You should apologize for your misleading remarks. I'm calling Senator Shaheen at 750-3004 and telling her I want my doctor back. You should too.
Paid for by SaberPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
He tried to make us believe he was a fiscal conservative, but State Senator Dave Bouton has been deceiving New Hampshire taxpayers. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, he claimed to be one of us, pretending to blend in, but all along, voting like a liberal Democrat. He voted to raise your gas tax by another 23%, taking a bigger bite out of our wallets every time we're at the pump. And oh, how he drooled at the opportunity to vote to expand Obamacare, which will result in higher taxes and longer wait times in the emergency room. And now the Senate wants to pass a bill to prevent us from criticizing Senator Bouton's vote? Call Senator Bouton at 603-203-5391 and tell him that we're on to his wolf in sheep's clothing routine. Tell him to stop pretending to be a fiscal conservative and start voting like one. Paid for by Citizens for a Strong New Hampshire.
Few things are as important as finding the right doctor. And under Obamacare, that's harder than ever. Over a third of our hospitals no longer available. Our doctors no longer covered. Fewer choices, longer drives.
No state has been harder hit than us. And even after watching it impact New Hampshire, Congresswoman Ann Custer still supports it. Call Ann Custer. Tell her Obamacare isn't working for New Hampshire.